Our New Testament reading is 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 18, the chapter. 2 Corinthians 6. Starting in verse 1. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. We are not restricted. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also. Maybe that should be, widen your hearts also. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Praise the Lord. Let's spend some time now in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, how blessed we are to address you as our Father. And we had in this passage, this New Testament passage, the citing of Old Testament scriptures that were teaching the people of old that you were their Father as well. And we are sons and daughters of the Most High. And they were sons and daughters of the Most High, those who believed. Father, what privileges we have as your adopted children. And we thank you for being able to address you as our Father. And hallowed be your name. We confess we're sinners. You are holy. And there's no approach, no safe approach for us apart from the blood of Christ covering our sins. And we thank you that we have that blood in abundance. because otherwise we would be doomed, not even able to pray. Your kingdom come, Father, not our kingdom, not our will, but your kingdom and your will. We pray they would be accomplished. We pray that the forces of evil that have been defeated ever since Christ died and rose again, that the plans and strategies and forces and energy and determination of the evil and the evil one and his helpers, we pray that all of that would be defeated. That you would give the devil no foothold in this congregation, especially in our time of transition when it would be easy to become short with one another, impatient, dissatisfied, grumbling. Father, keep us from these temptations. Grant us extra measures of your grace, that the devil would not gain any ground or see any victories among us. And we pray this for the church at large, that you would be perfecting the bride of Christ and filling her out to her full dimensions and eliminating every spot and wrinkle. Father, we know we have wrinkles in our congregation. We know there are wrinkles in other congregations in our presbytery. We beg you, Father, to iron them out and cause the kingdom of our Lord Jesus to come in all its perfections, with all of the sanctification that still remains between now and when that kingdom will be fully apparent. And may your will be done. Father, we confess we each have our own agendas, even idols in some senses. And we should be all about your agenda and what is the central thing of your agenda but your glory. Father, may your will be done, because that's what gives you glory, the most glory. So sanctify us for that purpose, that we would be doers of your will. And for those parts of your secret will, Father, accomplish your purposes through your providential care and the carrying out of every decree and the carrying out of each temporal judgment and the sending out of your Holy Spirit into the hearts of your elect throughout the world. May your will be accomplished in your providence and in your law, as we desire to keep your law for the sake of what Christ has done for us. Father, give us this day our daily bread. And we, as we learned this morning in that petition, we confess that we are dependent on you every single day for every single thing, and we cannot breathe one breath, think one thought, have one heartbeat apart from your sustaining help. So continue sustaining us. We thank you for evidence that you are sustaining us as a congregation. When a few months ago we might have been fearing we were soon to be extinct as a congregation, Father, you are giving us evidences of your love and your apparent intention to keep us going as a congregation. So bring it about for your glory. And Father, continue the preaching of your word morning and evening among this congregation. We thank you again for providing us with a new space and all of the amenities that are coming to us with that. We do ask that the meetings tomorrow evening would be warm, cordial, and productive, and that you would draw the hearts of our congregation and knit them together with the hearts of their congregation, that our relationship would be one of peace and iron sharpening iron and mutual love and accommodation. Father, these are places where we can easily assert our selfishness. Grant us humility and the love that sacrifices, the love that covers a multitude of sins. Father, we have many requests beyond our daily bread, but they're encompassed in that. We think of Andrew's voice, and that's one of the essential faculties you've given him to carry out the call that you've placed upon him. We pray that you would restore his voice and not let it be damaged. Father, I prayed about this morning. I'll mention it again, that Deo's wife, Mary, we thank you that she has her South Sudanese passport renewed, and now she needs to go back to the border. Another risky and expensive trip to get another visa for Kenya to show in her passport. We don't understand why this is so difficult, but care for her, we pray. Enable her to accomplish that that task and keep her safe through it. And Father, if it would please you, bring her this year to join Deo here in Kansas City and bring them into our congregation, Father, if they are among your elect. We pray that you would put it in their hearts, not merely because they're thankful for our support, but because they're thankful to you for all that you are giving them in Christ, especially the addressing of their guilt as sinners that goes a million times higher than any other blessing you would grant them. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Father, grant them their souls if they are among your elect, and enable them to hear the gospel in this place and to believe. Father, in thinking of belief and the importance of matters of the soul and eternity, we lift up to you again the gardeners who have followed false teaching, denied the truth, and seem to be rushing headlong away from Christ and his church. We ask that you would turn them back and not let them be the captives of our enemy Satan. And we cry out to you for John McQuash. He has verbalized his disbelief that there is such a one as Christ, the Son of God, described in the Bible. Father, arrest his unbelief and grant him the saving work of your Holy Spirit, and keep us constant in prayer for him and for the gardeners, that we would not be lax or complacent as we see the evil one, it seems, stealing away the sheep. And yet, Father, if they are goats and have no place among your people, then give the session courage to expel them, as we must. But redeem them is our prayer, if that would please you. May your will be done. Father, we thank you so much for bringing Becky here this morning with her family. We pray that this would not be a one-time thing, but would become a weekly habit, And we pray that you would work out the logistics of her getting here and even the spiritual aspects of her desiring to be here above all things. And Father, even put that desire in her husband John, that he would not let himself be excluded from the blessings to be gotten here. So provide for them. We thank you so much for the news that she has shared with some of us, that she's expecting a baby in August. And we praise you for this. I recall Pastor Barnes praying that you would grant more babies to this congregation, and here you are answering his prayers and our prayers. So bring joy to that family in this new life, and protect that little one, and grant spiritual life to him. This little one is a boy, and we pray that you would cause all things to go well for him and for Becky and their family. And there's more. They're moving the end of this month. Father, help them through that stressful time and enable them to get settled in quickly, and enable us to help in any way that would be helpful, and make us aware of the timing of all of that if we can be helpful to them. Father, we look forward to the Lord's Supper this coming Lord's Day evening. Grant your reminders through the week to us that we would examine ourselves and seek to be prepared to commune with Christ at his table. Bring all of our members, Father. We pray that none would excommunicate themselves by withholding themselves from this blessed event, but grant us all grace and humility and faith to come to your table with faith that you will dispense the blessings you've promised and not your curses, as we come covered by the blood of Christ, robed in his righteousness, and desiring to be holy as he is holy. Father, we have several congregations in our presbytery that need pastors. We pray that you would help the Washington, Iowa congregation to call a man. Help the Houston congregation to call a man, and the San Antonio congregation to call a man, and the Colorado Springs congregation to call a man. And you know who these men are. We pray that you would give them all shortcuts to the right answer and bring about joyful and peaceful marriage between pastors and congregations, that your people would be shepherded in tall green grass as you dispense your blessings to your people. And Father, we are called to pray for those in authorities over us, and we pray that you would bring them to know Christ, put in their hearts the desire to rule justly and to pass godly legislation for the good of your people, and bring revival to the churches, bring revival to the population at large, and grant us your mercies in this way. Father, I see one more thing I wanted to make sure to call out, as I did Wednesday night. What a humbling thing it is to have so many send gifts to this congregation in their concern for us and their desires for us to continue, that we would not dissolve, and that we would not go bankrupt financially as a congregation. And they have sent us astounding gifts that have exceeded our own offering, nearly exceeded our own offerings in the first part of this year. It's an amazing thing, a testimony of the gracious work of your Holy Spirit among our brethren and sisters in other congregations. It's not to be accounted for. There's no explanation except your Holy Spirit moving in the hearts of your people to have compassion on us. And who are we that they should think of us? Father, it's got to be your doing, and we praise you and thank you for it. So hear us now through Christ, our mediator and high priest. We pray in his holy name. Amen.